Hello, and welcome to Grants Creek Baptist Church in Maysville, North Carolina. We are a Southern Baptist church with a heart for worship, sharing God's love with all people by being the hands and feet of Jesus. We pray that you are truly blessed by this recording of our Sunday morning worship services with Pastor Steve Grissom. Join us now as Pastor Steve leads us through the Word of God.
Good morning. I've been looking forward to this. I was telling my wife she asked me when I come down here last fall to preach y'all's revival. She said, "How was it?" I said, "Honey, you wouldn't believe it." I said, "Those are there's such a sweet spirit in that place, and it just, I probably gained 20 pounds that week, and as you can see, I ain't taking it off yet. Y'all fed me so good." But I told her, I said, "It's just a sweet." Sweet spirit in that. Look, they're already giving me the sign back there. Mic on. Can you hear me now? Hello? Okay. I was telling her, is it working? Okay. I'm usually loud to begin with, so I usually don't need one of these things. But I was telling her what a sweet spirit in this church, and what a blessing it was to be able to come here. You know, I told her, I said, "But there was one feller that was kind of odd." She said, what are you talking about? I said, "Well, every time he shook my hand, he took my pulse." he took my pulse every, like he was sizing me up, like he was, you know, he was wanting some business out of me or something, you know. Where's he at? Is he even in here? There he is. There he is, Brother Ted. Yeah, yeah. I'm still around, brother. Okay. Got some payback coming to you this morning, brother. You don't even know it yet. Brother Earl, I texted with him this morning. He wanted me to let you know that the wedding went off beautifully, and that you know, everything went off real well, and it was beautiful, and they just had a grand old time, and he can't wait to be back here with you. He said he don't know what y'all saw in bringing me back here. And I told him, I said, "What's not to love, brother? Huh?" I've been looking forward to this, done, and I just pray that y'all have been blessed, and that y'all are continuing to grow in the Lord, and we'll see what the Lord has for us here this morning. Amen? Amen. Let's go to Him in prayer. Father in heaven, we thank you so much for your love, mercy, and your grace, and the very opportunity that I have to be able to come here, Lord, to open up Thy sacred Word, Lord, and the Father to read unto them what you would have me to give them, Lord. Father, I just pray that as I'm here today, Lord, that they'll put George Williams aside and they'll see Christ and Christ alone lifted up, Father. Father, that you would hide me behind the cross of Calvary and just use me as whatever vessel that you would have me be used at, Lord. And Father, that through it all, through your spoken word, Lord, people might draw nearer unto Christ Jesus, Lord, that even if there's one here that doesn't know Jesus this morning, that through it all, they would come to know Jesus as their Lord and Savior. Your word tells us that today is the day of salvation, so if someone needs to make that decision today, Lord, I pray that they do it today, because we're not promised tomorrow. And Father, again, we'll be quick to give you all the praise, honor, and glory for what goes on here today. Lord, help us that we might be the servants that you would have us to be, that we can carry the hands and feet of Jesus Christ out in this lost and dying world before it's everlasting too late. And again, Lord, we thank you and we love you. For it's in Christ's name that we do pray. Amen. If you will you open your Bibles up to Colossians? Colossians. I'm going to be reading to you out of Colossians chapter 2. I'm Now, if y'all see my wife do this morning, that's just her telling me I'm running too long. I need to cut it off. Amen. We're going to get you out of here. I want to take a few moments to you and talk to you this morning about God's best. God's best. Now the devil will try to keep you from being saved. We all know that. And he can't. By the way, if you want to be saved, the devil cannot keep you from being saved. You know that there's only one person in here that can keep you from being saved. And that's you, yourself, and I. Or me, myself, and I, however you want to say it. That's the only person in here that can keep you from being saved. But if he can't keep you from being saved, he'll try to do everything he can to keep you from discovering God's best, what God's best is for you. Now, here in the Colossians, Paul here, he didn't want them to miss God's best. He didn't want them to miss the great promises that God has for the children here in Colossae and Laodicea. Now, we all know about those people in Laodicea in the book of Revelation. It talks about that name church. And when we think about that church, we think about it as a group of people that, well, it was very comfortable with where they were at. That what they had was just good enough and they didn't need any more. And that's the way a lot of people are in the world today. They got, they've made a profession of faith, and that's the only thing that they needed to do. And they got all of Jesus. They checked the block, and they've got all of Jesus that they need to do. But Paul here, he's got a burden for him. Listen to what he says. He says, "For I would that you knew what great conflict I have for you." And what he means by this is, look, I'm really concerned for you people here in Colossae and Laodicea. You know, he has a burden. He calls it a conflict. And he says, "For as many as not seen my face in the flesh, that their hearts being comforted, being knit together in love, and unto all the riches of the full assurance of understanding." Paul's saying, look, I wish I could sit down to you face to face, just like I am here with you this morning, and tell you what I need to tell you. You know, he's writing it as a letter, but he was wishing that, look, I wish I could see you and look at you straight in your eyes and tell you this burden I have for you, this thing that he calls a conflict. And he says, "For as many not seen my face in the flesh." Now, what's his desire here? What is Paul's desire for these people? And he goes on and he tells them that their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love. Now, there's the phrase. Now, look at it. It says, "Unto all riches" here. You could just write a line under that. Write a line under that right there. "Unto all riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God and of the Father and of Christ." And he goes on in verse 3 and he says, "In whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge." Folks, don't let that get past you this morning. You know, Paul says, look, I'm concerned. I wish I could sit down with you face to face, heart to heart. He says, I don't want you to miss it. I want you to know, he says, all here, all, not some, but he wants it to know all of the treasures of wisdom and of knowledge that are in Christ. Because, folks, that'll be a tragedy if you missed it. If you missed it. You see, God has a treasure here. A treasure. And all the treasures that we have, folks, are in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, if you're saved, if Christ is in you, think about this for a moment. Wouldn't it be a tragedy if you knew Christ, but you didn't know all that you had in Him? Think about that for a moment. That you had Christ, but you didn't know all that you had in Him. I've heard that the diamond mines over in South Africa are some of the richest mines in the world. And I heard that they were discovered like this. Boys, some young children, were out playing marbles. And men walked upon them to see what they were doing, and they saw that they had these real shiny marbles, and they were sitting there playing in the sand with them. Now, to them, they were just marbles, but they were diamonds is what they were playing with. Now, you ever thought about that? Because that's how a lot of us can be with Jesus Christ. You know, we got a diamond, but we're just to them, to us, we're just playing marbles with it. We don't realize all the treasures and all the wisdom and all everything that we have in Christ Jesus. Because these boys, they had incredible wealth in their hands. But to them, you know, it was just a shiny rock. That's all it was, just a shiny rock. So a lot of times we don't understand all that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, every passage of Scripture that you look at here, it usually has a key that unlocks it. We just read all these first three verses that Paul's talked about. But if you'll turn over to verse 6, here's the key verse that brings it all together. And he says this, "As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in Him." So walk ye in Him. Now the way to know this gift, these treasures of wisdom and of knowledge, is to walk in the Lord Jesus Christ. You would expect Paul to say something very complicated here. But folks, it's very simple. It's very simple. Matter of fact, the Scripture said, "God preserveth the simple in song." The message of Jesus Christ isn't one that's so high up that we can't reach up to it. Look, you know, it's a very simple message. Jesus Christ is to weigh to all our treasures and everything else. It's matter of fact, it's so simple, folks, that some people can never get down to it. They can never get down to it. I had the privilege of going to see Billy Graham. He's been on his decision in North Carolina. Has anybody had the chance to go see him while he's been going around? I had the opportunity to be able to go see him. Was it last week, baby? Was it 2 weeks ago? I saw him in Fayetteville. And he did the message on Naaman. Remember him? He was the guy that, he was told to go wash down in the Jordan River, you know. And remember him? And to him, he thought he should have had to do something, you know, because he was a bandit, you know, was very high in stature and everything. He thought he should have to do something, you know, with some difficulty to it, you know. And to him, he had to humble himself a great deal to go and dip down there in that nasty Jordan River, you know. But anyway, he did. But that's how a lot of people think that it is to come to Jesus Christ, that we should have something very hard that we need to do, when in fact it's very, simple what we need to do. Very simple indeed. All we have to do is humble ourselves. We have to take ourselves off the throne, and we have to put Jesus Christ on it. And for so many of us, that's so hard to do. I remember when I was a young fella, I was a hard head. You know, it's so hard to do for so many of us. But Paul here, he gives a very simple message in how that we might receive all these gifts and these treasures. He says that as you have received the Lord Jesus, so walk ye in Him. That's a very simple message, folks, for us to walk in Jesus Christ. Now, who here don't want you to know this, though? The old devil, you know, he don't want you to know this. Because if you go back and you look in verse 4, he says this, "And this I say, lest any man should beguile you with enticing words." The devil don't want you to know this very simple message. Look, if you will, go on down to verse 8 and see what he says. He says, "Beware lest any man spoil you through through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of man and the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ." Folks, Satan is a smooth talker. You know that? He is a smooth talker, and he don't want you to understand, and he don't want you to listen. And he will do any and everything he can to draw your attention away. If you ain't careful this morning, even right here as you're sitting here, he'll have you take your mind off him. Oh, that preacher needs to hurry up. I got some fried chicken I need to get to. He will. That's how slick he is. He's a slick, smooth talker. You know, I really feel for our young people today, because it just seems to get worse and worse and worse. And I really feel for them, because they have a lot of things that they have to face today. I don't know if Steve told you all about this or not, but I'm going to tell you. I got a daughter in the Air Force. My daughter she's a great daughter. I love her to death with all my heart. And she's a smart, bright young woman. And she was in Air Force training. This was back in last year. This time she had just joined into the Air Force. She had finished all her, you know, her college and stuff. And actually she quit college on her. She was like right there at the end, won't she, baby? Kind of ticked me off a little bit, but hey, she's joining the Air Force. She's doing something that she wants to do, and I'm, you know, honey, you go do what, you know, you feel the Lord leading you to do. I want you to be happy. Now, she was dating a young boy at the time, and you know, she's been dating this boy all through high school. From the time she was in the ninth grade till through high school, and then 2 years after. So they've been dating for 6 years. Well, they get it in their mind they want to get married. Mm-hmm. Well, you know, I'm just a daddy. I can give advice, you know. And when you were 22 years old, did you listen to your mom and dad's advice too much? I know I didn't. But, you know, anyway, she goes off. She joins the service. The boy stays at home. She goes, gets her training and everything else. She comes home at Christmas time on leave. She's just about, well, she ain't got too much longer to do with school. And she does this without our knowledge. She marries the boy when she comes home on leave. Don't even tell mom and daddy, because she knew. Well, she knew. She didn't want to hear that talk. You know, y'all just need to wait until you get everything, you know. But she did it anyway. And she was smart, see. She waits till she gets back to Texas. Then she tells us she got married while she was at home. You know. What am I going to do, hop on a plane and fly out to Texas and say, oh, I can't believe you did that to me. No. She's smart. But anyway, long story short, she goes back to Texas. She's finished her school. She's married to this young man. The boy don't have much direction in life. That was one thing I told her, look, y'all needed to get situated, get you, find out what he wants to do, and start doing something. She was on the right track, but you know. Anyway, she's gone. He's there by himself. He gets hooked up wrong, with the wrong crowd. I get a call in April. Now, my daughter's just about ready to graduate. She's got ordered to go to Japan, to go overseas. And she was hysterical, crying at the top of her lungs. She said, somebody's told me Daniel's dead. So we go to Daniel's house. And sure enough, Daniel was dead from an overdose of heroin. Now there's a young man that she'd only been married to for days before she had to get back to Texas. And see, he started running with the wrong people, doing the wrong things. Now, this young man said he was a Christian. He said he believed in Jesus Christ. And I'm not going to dispute that fact because only God knows the heart. But folks, as Christians, the world ought to be able to see it. We ought to be able to show it. You know, and like I said, God might have used it because he says he can take things that were meant for evil and turn them for good. Well, I believe he did that in this case. I really do believe. God gets the glory out of even something like that. Because see, I come to find out my own son, was hooked on that crap. And I didn't, you know. And he went and said, I'm doing something, Daddy. So he went to rehab and he went through rehab. It's a Christian place. And then he got out of that. Now he's living in a Christian halfway house. But see, the devil is trying to do everything he can to our young people today. I believe time is short, folks, really. Because the devil is pulling out every dirty trick he's got today. And the stuff that he pulls out today will kill you on the spot. Will kill you. And that's what happened to this young boy. Now for me as a daddy, I'd never felt so broken in my life. Because there was my daughter who was in such pain, and there was not a thing that I could do but hold her and tell her I love her. Her heart was broken. But God's going to get the glory from it all. But that's the point I'm trying to make, is the devil is a smooth talker. And he'll try anything to bring you down. And that's what he did with that boy. He brought him down and he didn't get up. And that's what he's doing to youth today. I mean, we have an epidemic on our hands of this mess. He's a smooth talker, and he don't want you to discover what treasures you have in Christ Jesus. Now, Paul here, he's talking about treasures and treasures in the Lord Jesus, and he's talking about these riches and everything else in verse 3. And look what he says, and he says, and ye have therefore, meaning it's linked all the way back to these first five verses. He says, therefore now, You are to walk in the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at that verse. As you have received the Lord Jesus Christ, so walk ye. Now look at it. Real close here, because what does he say? He says, so walk ye what? In him. That's what he says. He says in him. He don't say walk with him. He don't say follow after him. It says to walk in the Lord Jesus Christ. It sounds strange, don't it? You are to walk in the Lord Jesus Christ. I mean, how do you walk in a person? Think about that. Walk in the Lord Jesus Christ. How do you do that? Remember, Hannah, the devil, he don't want you to hear this. But because the scripture says he would beguile you here. I want to talk just a few minutes about walking in the Lord. Walking in the Lord. There's three simple things I want you to see. First of all, I want to see what we would call the boundaries. The boundaries. The boundaries of the faith walk. Now, the boundary of the faith walk are these. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus, so walk ye in him. If I were to tell you to walk in this church, what would the boundaries be? You are to walk in this church. In this church. You can walk in here. You can go through there. You can go back there to the baptistry. You can go out there and walk in the classrooms and to the, you know, the fellowship hall or whatnot. That's to be the boundaries of your walk. If I were to tell you to do that, you're allowed to walk into church. Well, that would be your boundary. Well, folks, it's very simple, but it's the same thing that we do with Christ Jesus. He's to be the boundary of our walk. Spiritually speaking. We're just simply to be closed to Jesus and to his will. That's all. We're to walk in Jesus Christ. He's the boundary. Now, folks, if your person is very, you know, very selfish, not very spiritual, you know, the very first thing your natural mind would say, hey, you know, don't hem me in. That's what the natural mind says. That's what your old flesh says. You know, that would be very dull, because I used to think this as a young person especially. Very dull indeed to follow Christ Jesus. Have y'all used to think that? Anybody thought that? It would be very dull. Life would be very dull if that's all I did was follow Christ Jesus. There's so much more out there in the world. Well, look, Jesus here, he's talking to us about treasures. Treasures. Listen what he says again. Go back. He says that your hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love unto all the riches of the full assurance of understanding to the knowledge of the mystery of God and to the Father. Does that sound boring to you? I mean, does that sound boring to you? That in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge? Does that sound dull to you? I mean, does that sound like you're being fenced in or hemmed in? Folks, that would be like putting a minnow in the ocean and saying you're hemmed in by the Atlantic. Look. Jesus has some spiritual truths that he wants you to learn here, and how much greater life is with him than without him. You see, because old devil, like I said, is a smooth talker. That boy, he was doing heroin and he thought he was having a grand old time. See, the devil don't never show the alcoholic. You know, he just shows the Budweiser commercial where he's having a nice cold beer standing beside a pretty 57 Chevy with a girl in a bikini on having a grand old time. It don't ever show him when his liver's blowed slam out and he's laid up in the hospital with stuff in his arms. or the heroin addict, you know, it just is portrayed as having that. Just have a little bit of this. We'll have a good old time. It don't show them laying down there going to sleep and never waking up again. But that's what happened. Boy was 22 years old. Never woke up. I got a buddy who's a pharmacist. He told me, he says, that's what happens. He says, that drug is what it does is it slows their heart down. They think they're going to sleep because that's exactly what it feels like to you. He told me that. He says, and what happens is they do go to sleep, but then their heart stops and they don't know it and they're dead. See, but the devil, he don't ever tell you that. He don't ever show you that. You know, he's a smooth talker. He don't ever tell the man that's getting ready to cheat on his wife with the pretty younger thing how he's going to lose his kids and how 5 years from now she's going to run off with somebody that's even better looking than him with more money and a nice car. And now he's got nobody and his kids won't even talk to him. See, the devil don't ever tell you that because everything's always good to go with the devil. But that ain't the case. That ain't the case. He's a smooth talker. And if you ain't careful, folks, you can get out of bounds. That's why Jesus is to be the boundary of our walk. We are to walk in the Him. Now, how do you know when you get out of bounds? How do you know when you get out of bounds? Look over in chapter 3. Look over in chapter 3. And go down to verse 15. And he says, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Let the peace of God. Now the word there for rule is that same word they use for referee. Referee. Y'all watch, you know, baseball or football or basketball. I'm sure y'all, my mama watched basketball all the time. She's a big Carolina fan. I won't. I was a Duke fan. But regardless, let the peace of God referee in your hearts. That's how God keeps you in bounds, folks. You see, we have somebody that lives inside of us. It's called the Holy Spirit. And you see, when we start doing like we ain't supposed to be doing, the Holy Spirit will blow the whistle. He'll blow the whistle or he'll throw the flag. Or he'll get your attention and say, you're going out of bounds. You're going out of bounds. And if you don't hear it, it's either one of two things. You ain't saved, or you become so far from God that you can't hear him anymore. So you need to stay inside the bounds of God. Where's Brother Ted at? Come here, Brother Ted. I told you I was going to use you this morning. Come here. Come here. Run. They want me to get out of here. I got this just for you. This is a rubber band. Because this is... Hey, brother.
Very much alive. Very much alive.
You won't be. This is how it is with our relationship with God. That rubber band here feels pretty good, don't it?
Yeah,
it's not bothering you at all. But when we start walking away from God, and walking away from God, and walking away from God, and getting far away from God, either one or two things are going to happen. Now, the scripture says that God chastises his own. Now, chastisement, I don't know about you, but whenever I got spanked, it hurt a little bit. How about you? I'm not going to do that to you, brother. Oh, although God. I want to.
I know you do.
God bless you. But that's what happens. It either breaks or he's going to chastise us and we're going to know it. Now, I don't know about you, but I've been carried to the woodshed before. And it ain't all fun. But God loves those that He chastises. They are His. So praise God that He whooped me when He needed to. Amen? This ain't hard stuff, folks. It's very simple, but the devil don't want us to know this. He don't want us to know it. He's to be the boundary of our walk, Jesus Christ is. The next thing is, I want you to notice the beginning of the walk, because look what he says in 2:6. As ye have therefore received Christ the Lord, how do you begin the faith walk? As you have received the Lord Jesus Christ, as you receive Him, in other words, you take that first step. They say the journey of 1,000 miles begins with one step. That's what they say. Now, I want you to think just a little bit this morning, because this has to do with our walk. When you first came to Jesus Christ, how did you come to Him? It's very simple. You came to Him in repentance and faith. Am I right? Am I right? Didn't you come to Him by repentance and faith? Then how are we supposed to walk with Him? See, that's one step. Remember, walking is a series of steps. This is the problem with so many Christians right here. That's their walk right there. They took one step. That's true. You know how many years I did this? I stayed like that. I took that one step. That was it. But walking is a series of steps. And we're to live our faith walk just like that. Repentance and faith. Repentance and faith. Repentance and faith. Day in, day out. Because I'm here to tell you, I'm going to fail today. Anybody here going to be sinless today? If you are, I want to meet you right now. Because we ain't got there yet. We're just passing through this. Now there's going to come a time, praise God, when I won't sin anymore. But praise God, as I'm walking around right now, the Holy Spirit, He blows the whistle, and I repent and I continue to walk in the faith. We don't keep getting saved over and over again. We repent and proceed. We repent and we keep walking. So I would ask you, you know, that here's what I'm talking about. I'm talking about, have you had that personal encounter with Christ Jesus? Have you had that personal encounter with Christ Jesus? Have you received Christ Jesus? You know, a lot of people say, look, I believed in the plan of salvation. But folks, you ain't saved by the plan of salvation. You're saved by the man of salvation. You see, you can have the plan and still go straight to hell. Have you got the man? That's the question. Have you received the man of salvation? Have you received Him as your Lord? Again, have you taken yourself off that throne and put Him there? Saved by the man of salvation. You know, as a matter of fact, folks, that's what baptism is all about. If you go down to verse 12, let's see what he says. He says, buried with Him in baptism, wherein also ye are risen with Him through the faith of the operation of God who hath raised Him from the dead. You see, when you give your heart to Christ, we baptize you. We put you in that baptistry there and we immerse you. We dunk you under. We put you under the water. That right there is a liquid tomb, folks. It's a funeral tomb is what it is. It's a funeral service. And that old person who used to be his dad. And that's your burial right there. And the only mourner there is the devil. And he hated to see you die. But by Christ Jesus, his death on the cross, it has your name on it. And you died with him, folks, and you are buried with him, and praise God, you are raised by him. That means that there's a new life. That's the beginning of the walk. That first step, and then that series of steps. Is Jesus your Lord this morning? Do you know that for sure? I hope and pray you do. He tells us this in John. Herein you may know that you know me if you keep my commands. Do we do what Jesus tells us to do? And some of them ain't easy. Some of them are not easy. I don't know about you, but that one that says, love thine enemy, I have a problem with that one. I got a problem. I mean, that's hard for me to do. But that's what Jesus tells us to do. It's easy to love somebody. Hey, it's easy to love y'all. It's easy to love y'all. But it's hard out there to love the, you know. It'd be hard for me to love that guy that gave that boy them drugs and made him die that night. That would be hard for me. But Jesus tells us that's what we're to do. Here's the last thing. We got the boundary. We got the walk, beginning of the walk. And lastly, again, the balance of the walk. The balance of the walk. Because he says, as ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him. Now, the Greek language here, it says again, in the verb, it says to keep walking. That's what we're to do. We are to keep walking, not just one step, but we're to keep moving, folks. That's how we are to live the Christian life. We're to keep walking day after day after day. We are to pick up that cross every single day. Not just one time, but every day we're to pick up that cross. You know how hard that is to die to George Williams every day? Saying some days I make a miserable mess of it. I'm here to tell you. I make a miserable mess of it. But that's what we're supposed to do. We're to keep walking. In other words, folks, it ain't a finished deal yet. This here ain't finished. What we're, you know. As long as we're drawing air on this earth, it's not a finished deal. Now, again, walking begins with a step, but it's a series of steps. Again, we're to receive him by repentance and faith. That's how we live the Christian life. The same way that you got it by repentance and faith, it's just repeating the process over and over and over again as we walk along every single day. Again, you don't keep getting saved. Now, some people say, look, I took a stand for Jesus years ago. A stand. I've heard people say that. I took a stand for Jesus. And I think they may have, but I think they're stuck. We are to walk in the Lord Jesus. A series of steps. Faith and repentance. And again, it don't mean that we're going to live a sinlessly perfect life, folks. That ain't possible. We all know that. That is not possible until we reach glory land. And praise God, then we won't have to worry about it anymore. Scripture says there'll be no more faith, no more hope. we'll see his face, and then we'll know that only love remains. Sometimes, folks, faith can be burdensome. It can be burdensome, and it's hard to do. But we're called to do it. The Lord isn't going to reveal some things to you that are wrong, and he'll always blow that whistle if we're listening. If we're listening. In 1 John it says this: He that saith that he abideth in him, also himself to walk as Jesus walked. Are you abiding in Jesus? Are you living in Jesus this morning? Is it going to show? We're to walk like Jesus walks, folks. When people see you, do they see Jesus? Does your neighbor see Jesus? Does your wife see Jesus? Does your husband see Jesus? Does your children see Jesus? Does the guy at the gas pump, does he see Jesus? How about the one behind you that's blowing the horn, giving you the middle finger, does he see Jesus? Again, as ye have received the Lord Jesus, so walk ye in him. In him. Folks, that's how we see it. We see the boundaries. We see the beginning. And we see how Christians are to walk. It's not a complicated message. It's very simple. We're to walk as Jesus walked. So ask yourself today, are you walking that walk? Are you doing that today? Is there something that you need to start doing to be walking more like Jesus? Have you just taken that one step? And now you need to start taking a series of steps. Do you need to take that one step? Have you ever trusted in Christ Jesus this morning as your Lord and Savior? Say, Lord, I'm going to take me off that throne and I'm going to put you on it. I'm going to make you the Lord of my life. Lord, I'm a sinner. I repent, Lord, and I need you today. Again, the Scripture says that today is the day of salvation. Today, not tomorrow. Because we ain't promised tomorrow. Do you have a decision that you need to make today? I'm going to ask the pianists that they come up, and I'm going to say a short prayer right now, and then she can play whatever she wants. Come up here if you got anything you need to give to the Lord Jesus. If you want to come and make a profession of faith, whatever it is, give it to him this morning. Give it to Jesus this morning. Let us pray. Father in heaven, Lord, again, we thank you so much for your love, mercy, and your grace, Lord. I thank you for these people of Grants Creek Baptist Church, Lord. And Father, I just pray that your word hit where it needed to hit this morning, Lord. Father, I pray that if there's someone here that's not doing the walk, Lord, that needs to take that first initial step, Lord, that today will be the day that they do it, Lord. And Father, if there's those here that aren't walking as they should be, Lord, that they might walk as they should be doing, Lord. And that is in you, walking in Christ Jesus. Lord, help us all that we might walk in you each and every day. Because, Lord, when we walk in you, we'll never fail. We'll never fail. Lord, help us to be that Christian that we need to be to this lost and dying world, Lord. Father, we have people that are dying and going to hell every day around us, Lord. Father, help us that we might share your word. Your Bible tells us that faith cometh by hearing the word of God. So, Father, I pray that we might utter the name of Christ Jesus to a lost and dying world, Father. Let us not be ashamed of it. And, Father, always give us the words that we need to say. Lord, whatever thy will is this morning, I pray it upon this church here at Grants Creek Baptist, Lord. And, Father, that you might send us out of here saying, Lord, it's been great to be in the house of the Lord today. Lord, this is the day that you've made. Lord, I pray that we might rejoice and be glad in that. And let us carry that rejoicing on out in this world. And we'll be quick to give you all the praise, honor, and glory for it. For we ask it in thy name. Amen.
As we've come to the close of today's message, how is the Holy Spirit using this sermon to speak to you? Have you decided to accept Jesus Christ as your Savior? Or are you in need of prayer for spiritual or physical needs? There's no better time than right now to reach out to God in prayer. We would love to pray with you or hear about your testimony. You can contact us on the web at www.grantscreekbaptist.com to let us know of a salvation decision, a prayer request, or to email Pastor Steve about your relationship with the Lord. If you're looking for a church home, then look no further. Welcome home to Grants Creek Baptist in Maysville, North Carolina. Join us for our worship services on Sundays at 11 a.m. and 7 p.m., and you can also join us for Sunday school at 9:45 a.m. On Wednesday evenings, we have a Bible study and youth activities starting at 7. Be sure to check out our calendar of events on our website to see other special programs that happen throughout the week. Thanks again for listening to today's sermon with Pastor Steve Grissom. We look forward to worshiping God together with you real soon.